I'm going to tell you right now, before we get started, you need to be ready to flip over different places, because when I preach on this subject tonight, that we're going to be in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Chronicles. And so while all of the passages of Scripture are close to each other, won't be very hard to find. I just want you to be ready for that. So let's stand tonight as far as beginning the service with the introduction or reading the passage of Scripture. Let me, I'm going to skip about three, I'm going to read three verses, and then we're going to get in to the message tonight. Let's start in 1 Kings 5, and if you have a header in your Bible, if you have a Scofield, it'll say like Solomon prepares to build the temple. So we're going to preach tonight on this subject, building buildings for God. All right, building buildings for God. Now notice with me down in 1 Kings 5, verse 5. And behold, this is Solomon speaking. He said, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. Then go over to chapter 6 and verse number 14. Chapter 6 and verse 14, it says this. So Solomon built the house and finished it. Now go to chapter 6 and verse 38. And in the 11th year, in the month Bul, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to all the fashion of it, so was he 7 years in building it. Now, I want you to know tonight that the building of the temple was an amazing accomplishment. Now, Noah took 120 years to build the ark, but can I say that Noah probably did not have as many people to help him build the ark as Solomon did. And so, when it comes to the building of the temple, it is an amazing accomplishment when you read the Bible text or when you read the Bible account, but also when you just get some historical facts about the building. So what does that have to do with us tonight? Well, just hang on, and we'll talk about building buildings for God. Lord, I pray that you would be in the message tonight. Thank you for what we've read about in Solomon's life so far, how he love the Lord, and Lord, there's just so many lessons that can be learned through the life of Solomon, the good and the bad. But Lord, we enter into this place tonight where we see that Solomon accomplished what was in the heart of his father David. And we know that David prepared much of this material that would be used in the building of the great temple that was used to glorify your name and to worship and honor you. And so I pray, Lord, tonight we might understand the application that can be made where we're at today, because we have, over many years, over 56 years or so, we have built many buildings on this particular property that we're on right now. We've remodeled, we've built, we've done things such as this. So there is an application to be made, even though I think that everybody here would understand that this, what we do today, was nothing compared to what was built in the temple. But the purpose and the principles can certainly be found in the Scripture in the New Testament church. I pray that you would help me to preach this message tonight, that it would be honoring and glorifying to you, and that we would certainly make some references and applications to where we're at tonight. God, I need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to make an obvious statement, and that's this. Building buildings is really a part of church life where we're at today. All right, building buildings is a part of church life. However, if you go to the New Testament, there is nothing said anywhere about building buildings. Now, begin to think about that in the life of the church at Jerusalem, and then as you go on and the gospel is being presented, there was synagogues that were built. In fact, when the synagogues were built after the Babylonian captivity, these were not really, they were not small temples, if you would, but they were places or houses of worship where they would take up an offering. They would open the Word of God. And remember when Jesus Christ showed up and he would show up in a synagogue and they would ask him to come, and he, especially when he was in his hometown of Nazareth, the Bible said he opened it up to the book of Isaiah and he read that portion of Scripture in Isaiah 53. And then he looked at it and they sat there to wait to see what he would say. And he said this, "Today this has been fulfilled in your ears, in your eye. This has been fulfilled," because he was speaking of himself and that Isaiah was talking about Jesus Christ. So they were so excited that they got, that they had revival. No, they took up stones to throw at him. And they basically ran him out of town, if you would, because of what he had said. So buildings are not unfamiliar in the New Testament, yet there is nowhere in the New Testament where there is a, where it is spoke about building buildings. In fact, I can't find any instructions on the Sermon on the Mount on building buildings. I do not see anywhere in the pastoral epistles where Paul wrote to Timothy and to Titus on this is how you build a building. I'd kind of like for that to be a part of that, but there is nowhere in the New Testament outside of synagogue. And by the way, much of New Testament worship is patterned after the synagogue service. And that's very clear from the preaching in the book of Mark. You can see that. There was some differences. There wasn't singing. So basically, if you got singing and worship, you would have to go to the temple. And as you've been reading through your Bible or getting ready to read through the book of Exodus, there was the instruction God would give on how many times the men would come before God. And then when the tabernacle and later on the temple, they would be singing and they'd be praising and they'd be worship. So there was not a lot of singing in the synagogue services, but there was the exposition of the Scripture and there was the offering. So see, they were starting Baptist churches way back then. But I'm just saying that if we're going to get any instruction, and by the way, I believe in building buildings. Someone would say, well, and I've heard people from like the Church of Christ who would say, well, you know, they don't believe in pianos and they don't believe in instruments in the church. And they would say, show me where that is in the Bible, to which I would say to them, well, show me where there's a bathroom in the Bible. But yet I believe putting in a bathroom in a building when we build a building. Somebody say amen. Can you imagine building a building and saying, well, we didn't put any bathrooms in there because there's nowhere in the Scriptures that tell us to put bathrooms in there. Well, so when they say there's no place for instruments, I say there's no place for buildings, yet they're usually meeting in a building when they say that. So that don't fly. And plus they believe in baptismal regeneration, and I preach against that too. But it is only in the Old Testament do we really find the principles of building buildings. And if you want to consider the ark a building, that was probably the first major building project in the Old Testament. And then we could go on and see things like the tabernacle, that God gave instructions to Moses on how to build that tabernacle. But remember, the tabernacle was something that could be moved as God would move them throughout the land. So at any given time, the tabernacle could be broken down and moved to another location as God would lead. But when we get to the temple, this is going to be something that under the leadership of David, who put down his enemies and had a desire to build a temple to God, because he basically said, hey, my house is bigger than the tabernacle. And if God, why should God dwell in tents when I dwell in a house? So it became into his heart to build a permanent building to worship God in, and that's going to be the temple as we know it. And so I'm going to mention some things about that in just a minute. But the building of the temple, this was not the only temple built. And there's a reason for that, and I'm going to get to that when I get to the end of the message. I want to make one last point when I get there. It's going to be a long time, so just wait till we get there. I also think about the building of the walls under Nehemiah. And that's quite a project too, and how fast that was. God was allowed Nehemiah to build the walls, 50-something days, I believe. I didn't look at the reference. But I do believe personally that buildings have to be built, and I also believe this, that buildings have to be maintained. I remember very clearly when the church in Knobnostor that I was pastoring there for 11 and a half years, somewhere around the 6th or the 7th year mark that I was there, I really remember where it came to the place where there was no more room for people to get into the building. We were parked 3 and 4 deep. If you came in first, you were going to leave last because there's going to be 3 cars parked behind you. That's how small the parking lot was. And I remember, here's some things I remember about building. And then when building a building or building buildings are like having babies. What do you mean by that? You don't want to have another one until you forget about what it was like to have it. Everybody say amen. If men had babies, there'd only be one born, that'd be the end of it. But why do women continue to have babies? Because they forget what it was like to have the last one, and they don't have the next one until they forget about that. And then, of course, there's actually the baby that's, you know, part of it. But I remember certain things about building buildings, and these are throughout my particular ministry, Berean Baptist Church, 57 years almost, being there in Knob. I remember this. Buildings cost money, and they usually cost a lot of money. They're inconvenient. It's inconvenient to build a building. It was inconvenient for us to have to move out of the auditorium in 2019 and move over to the fellowship hall and have services until we could get the auditorium remodeled. Now listen, I understand it's inconvenient, but building buildings are inconvenient. Building buildings are time consuming. Building buildings cost a lot of money. And I'm just telling you, when we built the fellowship hall, when we converted the annex downstairs to Sunday school classrooms, when we remodeled the offices, when we dug around this particular building to fix the problem of leaking only to have it flooded after we got done. Remember that? What a blessing. We fixed the building so it wouldn't flood, and then some pipe came in and we had 3 inches of water downstairs in a brand new remodeled building. You're talking about inconvenience. You're talking about cost. Praise God, the insurance took care of that. But you're talking about inconvenience. That's inconvenient. It was inconvenient when all of the men had to come out on that Saturday morning, many of us, to suck the water out. You know what? It took work and it took sacrifice. When we remodeled this auditorium in 2019, with the new pews and the carpet and the new ceiling and the wood platform, as I mentioned, it was costly and it was inconvenient. When we built the Golden Ager buildings, there was the inconvenience of the city hall made to spend more money on a sprinkler system that wasn't budgeted for, and so there was more cost and more sacrifice and more inconvenience and more headaches. Our buildings are appraised at $5.7 million with less than 50, now going to be about $50,000 to having all of our buildings paid off that are on this property. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hundreds, listen, praise God, Brother Gray had the church debt free and I came and I put us in debt. And we've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in the last 25 years to remodel several times. Remodel, and by the way, those that were upset about it, I don't understand that, but there were people that get upset. But yet we put decks on our houses, we remodel our house, well, some of us remodel. Some people never remodel, I guess, I don't know, but I'm just saying, here's what I'm going to get to tonight is this. I want things done to the honor and the glory of God. Amen. I want things done that God would be honored in. And I'm telling you, when you build buildings, they are really, like for our purposes, should be very similar to the purpose of Solomon building the temple. Now, I want to tell you something about the temple tonight, just give you some facts about it. First of all, the temple being built under Solomon, and we just read 3 verses tonight. We read that he was purposed to build the temple based on the heart of his father who had prepared much of the temple, building. But by the way, it wasn't just David's sacrifice. Solomon's sacrifice, the leaders of the Israel sacrifice. It's right there in the text in chapter number 6. We'll get to some of it. But not only did they sacrifice, but the people sacrificed. I've always thought about when they came out of Egypt and God said, spoil the Egyptians. Go into the Egyptians' home and ask for things. And they gave them anything and everything they asked for because they wanted them out of town as fast as possible because the firstborn of every house had died because they didn't put their family under the blood. And they were ready to get rid of Israel. And what did God do? God used Egypt. God used the worldly material of Egypt to later on build the buildings that would be built like the tabernacle. Isn't that amazing? That's the way God does. That's the way we build buildings. God uses the finances of the people who live in Egypt, who go out into the world, and they bring their tithes and their offerings into the house of God. And when they do, when there's offerings above tithes, then there's sacrifice, there's inconvenience, but it is supposed to be for a place to glorify God. Amen. Now, the temple that Solomon would build, the Bible said, so Solomon built the house and it took 7 years. This temple was one of the most magnificent and most expensive buildings ever built in the history of mankind. I believe, if I say this right, it was considered one of the seven wonders of the world. They said, many people said, that when you came into Jerusalem, that for miles you could see the temple and the magnificence of the temple setting up there on that hill in Jerusalem. In the early 1900s, a commentary on the Bible called Pleblut's Bible Dictionary, listen to this, and I can only look up this kind of stuff, they estimated that the cost of the temple in early 1900 would be $2.5 billion. Now think about that, $2.5 billion. But the problem is that's 1900 numbers. If you bring that to 2023 or 2018, I think it was, that would be approximately $75 billion to build the temple that Solomon built in today's money. Almost the same as the debt of the United States. Actually, there's more debt. But I'm not even going to start talking about how many dollars and how high that would go and all that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you, I know enough to know that $75 billion is a lot. In fact, we'll read some of the text. But how everything was overlaid in gold. How everything was done with precious stones. How that Solomon got the cedar from Tyre. How they floated those cedars down the river and took them off at Joppa, and then they would have to haul them to Jerusalem. And how much money that Solomon had to pay year after year to hire him, the king of Tyre, who was a friend of David. He had to do all of that to pay for the material, the timber. That's all in the Bible. In Edersheim's book, Edersheim, a history of Israel, he said this. He said, in the 7 years of the building, the temple, it took 360,000 men, 6 days a week for 7 years. Now that's why I said I think that Solomon probably had a few more people than Noah did. Now did Noah build the ark all by himself? I don't think so. I think he hired people. We don't know, but it'd be hard for three men to build that boat in 120 years. I guess it could be done, but I'm sure that they could also hire people. Now, I want you to notice this with me now. Look in chapter 6 and look at verse number 21. If you want to see the cost of the billions of dollars that it would take and the manpower that it would take, just notice here in chapter 6. And these are just some snapshots. So look at chapter 6, verse 21. So Solomon overlaid the house within with pure gold, and he made a partition by the chains of gold before the oracle, and he overlaid it with gold. And the whole house, look at that, the whole house, he overlaid it with gold until he had finished all the house. Also, the whole altar that was by the oracle, he overlaid with gold. And within the oracle, he made two cherubims of olive tree, each 10 cubits high. And 5 cubits was on one wing of the cherub, 5 cubits on the other wing of the cherub. From the uttermost part of one wing unto the uttermost part of the other were 10 cubits. And it just goes on. It says down in verse number 28, after talking about all of the cherubs, he said this, and he overlaid the cherubs with gold. And he carved all the walls of the house round about with carved figures of cherubs and palm trees and open flowers within and without. And the floor of the house he overlaid with gold within and without. You'd think, why would you lay it within if you're not going to be able to see it? Because it represented God. And it represented the worship of God. It represented the honor of God. Now, the temple was this temple that was built now was the focal point of worship for the nation of Israel for some 400 years before Nebuchadnezzar and his armies from Babylon destroyed the temple and hauled away the valuables from the temple. 400 years they were able to worship. And it was not always good, and we'll learn that as we preach through the kings and the prophets. Before Solomon's temple was built, it was the tabernacle under the leadership of Moses. After Solomon's temple, there was another temple built after the captivity, and that was under Ezra the scribe, Haggai the prophet, and Zerubbabel the governor. God used those men. One thing that I grab a hold of is when you read that account of how they... And by the way, God said to those at that time, don't worry about what was built, worry about what you're doing right now. Because if you'll remember, one of the passages of Scripture said, when the old men saw the new tabernacle, they cried. When the young people saw it, because they'd been in captivity and now they're out of captivity, now they're back in the land, and there's a group of people there and they're laying the foundation and they're gonna get things back to where they can worship God, the young men shouted. And they glorified God. But the old man wept because they saw what it used to be. Old people, you better be careful about saying, well, it used to be. Or I remember. No, listen, what is it right now? We should be worshiping and praising God right now. We should be seeing people saved and missionaries being sent out. We are not to live in the past. We need to live in the present and look forward to the future. Then I think after that temple was another temple that was built. Herod, it was called Herod's temple, and that took 40 years to build. And that was the temple in the time that Jesus Christ was there. And remember what he called that temple? My Father's house. He said, you've turned my Father's house into a place of a den of thieves rather than the house of prayer. So all of these buildings, I don't think this is in my text, but it might be, but what's always amazing to me about building buildings is you don't go to Lowe's or to Home Depot and say, hey, I need some church lumber. Oh, well, we have that's special over here. No, we don't. We just go buy regular lumber and we build buildings for God, but then we realize that it's for God, for a purpose. I'm thankful for our building. I'm thankful for a place that we can come together in fellowship and prayer and worship and serving God. I believe that this place should be a preaching station. I don't think it should be a dance hall. I don't think it should be a recreation center. I don't think it should be a place where we are entertained. I think it's a place where we worship. And so, when we spend $85,000 to put in pews, okay, they're nice. Amen. And they're functional. That's right. And some people would want us to put pine, but you can't do that anymore because I preach too long. Pine boards. But you know what? If a pine board's all you've got to worship, to be in the house of God, that's fine too. Amen. But I think it should be the best it could possibly be. Now, listen, I don't want to get this. This is going to be long anyway. I've not even got to the points yet. David had a desire and David had a conviction to build a house for God because David recognized his house was better than the house of God. Let's look at that. 2 Samuel chapter 7. I tell you, we're going to have to flip back and go through here real quick. And if I feel like I'm getting too long, I'll cut it off and we'll finish it. But I think we can probably do this. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1 through 3. And it came to pass when the king, that's King David, sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all of his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." And Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that is in thy heart, for the Lord is with thee." Now, problem with that is God came to Nathan and said, "Time out. I'm not going to allow that because David is a man of war." Now, here's what I'll let him do. Here's what I'll let you do. I'll let David prepare the material, but he cannot build the house. It'll be his son that will do that. Now, I think about this. David wasn't one of these guys who said, "Well, I'm not going to go to church and I'm not going to be a part of church if they don't let me do what I want to do." Now, think about that. David didn't go, "Well, God won't let me build the house. That's it." No. No. David did what God allowed him to do. And God said, "David, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to let you build the house of God because you're a man of war, but your son will be a man of peace. I'll let him do it. But here's what I'll let you do. I'll let you give sacrificially and you can prepare the materials." So you know what David did? He did just that. And to David, this condition reflected dishonor for God. That's why he wanted to build the house. He said, "My house is better than the house of God." Now think about that. We could spend a lot of time on that. People more concerned about their house than they are the house of God. In fact, when it came to the time of Zerubbabel and Haggai, God had to lead Haggai to preach, "Hey, you guys are more concerned about the house you live in, and there's the house of God sitting laying waste." And basically he was saying, if you don't get right with God, your money's going to be like pouring it in a bag with a hole in it. And you need to be concerned about the house of God. Listen, are we getting the application here that we need to be concerned about the house of God? And while the New Testament doesn't talk about buildings, but we build buildings. So David had a desire to do to build this, and look at 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles 28. I told you we're going to stay real close, but still we got to go over here and we got to go back and forth a little bit. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, look at verse number 3. "But God said unto me," to David, "Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood." Look at verse 6. "And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father." Look at verse number 10. "Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." God gave the blueprint. Look at 1 Chronicles 28 and go down to verse number 11. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 11. Notice this, the Bible says this. "Then David gave to Solomon the pattern of the porch," that means the blueprint, "the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all he had by the spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and all the chambers round about of the treasuries of the house of God and all the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also, he gave him instruction about the courses of the priests and the Levites and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord and for all the vessels of the service in the house of the Lord. He gave of gold by weight for things of gold, of instruments of manner of service, silver also, for all the instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service, even the weight for the candlesticks of gold, and for their lamps of gold, and weight for every candlestick, and for lamps thereof, and the candlesticks of silver by weight, both for the candlestick and also for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick." Now drop down to verse 21 for time's sake, because this is all good. I mean, God said, do this. God said, do it like this. And verse 21, verse 20, "And David said to Solomon his son, Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be for thee all manner of workmanship, ever willing, skillful man, for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. God said, I will prepare the material. I will prepare the people. Be strong and build it. And I believe maybe the key verse might be verse 19. Go back up there. And this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. You know what David said? God gave me the blueprint. And just as God gave Moses the blueprint or the blueprints for the tabernacle, God gave David. Now listen, that's pretty awesome. He just said, you can't build it. And David said, okay. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse number 1. So here we see that Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord, a house for his kingdom. Verse 5, and the house which I build is great. Why is this building great? Well, look, for great is our God above all gods. But who is able to build him a house, seeing the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I that I should build him a house, save only to burn sacrifice before him? You know what the Bible says here? The Bible says that he was determined, verse number 1, to build a house. The word determined is a command, but it is also a passion. Solomon wanted to honor God with the temple. Now here's what I'm saying. No matter what buildings you build on a church property, it's to bring honor and glory to God. Amen. This is the purpose in building. Churches should be worship centers, not recreational centers. They are to honor God and not the flesh. And our motive by which we are to build buildings is very similar to the motive that Solomon built the temple for God. Or it should be our motive. And then I must get you to understand again, there is nowhere in the New Testament that I can find or that I know, and somebody can help me if you can, where there's a process of how to build a building. That has to be found. If you're going to find principles and precepts of building buildings for God's glory, like church buildings, in fact, I believe in the New Testament, there were many house churches. There were so much persecution in the early church, there was no buildings that could be built. That's why you have to understand what a church is. A church is not the building. The church is the people. But yet the Bible says that the church is like a building where Jesus is the cornerstone and we're the little bricks. We're the bricks. He also says it's like a bride. He's the bridegroom. We're the bride. He uses analogies about the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. That's why it's so important to understand what a church is, that it's local, it's visible, it's built by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that built the church, but again, I still believe in building buildings. And of course, you find the word church found 114 times in the New Testament. It's used, the Greek word is ekklesia, and it only has one meaning every time. A called out assembly of people who have coveted themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. In fact, the word ekklesia has its roots in the Greek democracies when a town crier would call out the citizens to a meeting to conduct business. The only difference in a ekklesia in the Roman, in the Greek democracy than in a church like we have is Jesus said, my church, I will build my church. He used the personal pronoun to distinguish his church from the other democracies that were spoken about. Now, why did Solomon build the temple? And why should we build buildings? And it should not be, I mean, I've seen some places and you see some places and you go, they had three pastors. Well, how do you know they had three pastors? Because there's three different looking buildings. And you go and ask them and they said, yeah, first pastor built that building, second pastor built that building, and third. So it's not just to build buildings. To say I built a building. that we build buildings. First of all, go back to 1 Kings. We're still there. Now we're getting somewhere. All right, we're making progress. In 1 Kings chapter number 3, I want you to notice with me something we've already looked at. We've already preached this. This was several messages ago. 1 Kings chapter 3, when Solomon, verse number 3, chapter 3, 1 Kings 3, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. He wasn't perfect. He sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. There were some things that Solomon should not have done, but there's one thing that motivated Solomon early in his, if I can put it like this, either his kingship or his ministry or what God had given him. When he started out right because he loved God. Amen. He had a heart for God. Amen. And he had a heart to do what his father had been in his heart. And we already read those verses, but love is a tremendous motivator. I mean, my grandkids, I love them so much, they can motivate me to do things I normally wouldn't do. They get me to do things that I'm like, okay. Why do I do that? Because I love them. And I want to do whatever I can for them. But our love for the Lord should motivate us. Now, unfortunately, Solomon's love for the Lord diminished late in his reign and resulted in corruption. But at the beginning of his reign, he had much affection for God, and that cannot be separated from the building of the temple. In fact, David was also like this. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Some of these things I may read twice, but in 1 Chronicles chapter number 29, look at this real quick. 1 Chronicles 29 and first three verses. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, look at this, but it's for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, the wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones, divers colors and all manner of precious stones, marble stone, look at this, in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for His holy name. David sacrificed greatly. David was inconvenienced. David understood that it was going to cost a lot of money. Now, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 2. 2 Chronicles chapter number 2. So, first of all, I believe that one of the reasons that the building was built was because of love for God. Second of all, it was to worship God. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 2. In verse number 4. Behold, I build a house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to Him, and to burn before Him sweet incense, and for continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings, morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, and on the new moons, and on the solemn feast of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. God is great, so let's build something great. Now, I want to just tell you something right now. There's always people who will go, well, I can't believe they spent all that money on building that building. Isn't it amazing that you never hear, they should have been given to the poor. But yet you hear people building baseball and football stadiums and spending literally, not just millions, but in some cases, billions of dollars. And I don't hear anybody say anything about the poor. But it comes to building a house for God. Well, I think we can put the money. No, I don't. I think it's a good thing to build buildings that will give honor and glory to God. He honored God by building the temple. He dedicated it to Him. It's called the house of the Lord in 2 Chronicles 3. Isn't that why we're here? Why are we here? Sunday's the Lord's day. Amen. And we have the opportunity to meet in a building.
That's right.
The appearance and function of the building was intended to honor God. Let me say something about the temple. It wasn't a ramshackle chicken coop. It was a magnificent building. And by the way, when you have hundreds of people go through buildings and walk on carpet and all this, guess what? You have to remodel stuff. You have to redo stuff. And all I'm saying to you tonight is our church should be the very best for God and therefore treated as such. There should be an honor and a respect. And I think that we should be our best when we come to church. This is not a ballpark. I've said this, but me and Rob, I watch usually during the wintertime, I'll usually watch the 10 or 12 series of baseball by Ken Burns, the documentary. My documentaries are my favorite. And it starts all the way back in the 1800s and goes all the way up to today. And you get to the 20s and the 30s and the 40s. And they'll do them in 10-year increments. All that was going on in baseball from 1920 to 1930, if you want to know, that's all about Babe Ruth. Everything was about Babe Ruth from 1920 to 1930. 1930 to 1940, 1940. And so in every one of those, they'll show these old movie reels and they'll show these stadiums being built. But here's what's amazing. Everybody at the ballpark is dressed in a suit and tie with a top hat, and all the women are in dresses. In fact, there wasn't no pants on women until after the 1950s, and that's not even my message. But I'm just telling you, there was no such thing until the women went into the factories and started working, and they started acting like men and dressing like men before that, and they never did that. So we're old-fashioned, of course, and that's real stupid to even say that. But it is to be considered that men are to dress different than women. And so here's, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying people dress better at a ball game in the 30s, 40s, and 50s they do when they come to church.
Amen.
Honor.
Yeah.
Respect. Amen. Is everybody with me?
Yeah.
The appearance and function was to give honor to glory to God. David did not, and I already said this, he didn't get upset because he couldn't sing a solo. He was glad to do what God allowed him to do. I was sitting up here tonight, and I'm telling you, I got a little hurt. Lance didn't ask me to sing special with him. I was kind of singing it in my heart, and I thought, he should have asked me to sing a duo with him. No, I didn't do that, because I wouldn't want to mess up what was sung. Somebody say amen. He did what God told him to do because he was honored to do that. Many will not serve unless they can do what they want to do. It's always amazing to me. It always makes me nervous sometimes. You ask somebody to give a testimony and they stand up and go, I just want to thank God for my great talents that I have. Boy, and humility is one of them, isn't it? Let me give you a personal testimony. This is just my, and I've given this before, but I used to think as a young man sitting in this church right over here where my wife sat, that's where we sat for the 4 years we were at Berean, back from basically 1985, 86 to 1990. I was telling Linda Lemon this. Pretty much when I came to Berean Baptist Church in 1985 and 86, I was very close to Brother. My age right now is the same as Brother Gray's. I think he was 61 or something like that. He was born in 1925. I go to Tassadi Daisy. I can't remember math, but it's pretty close. His age when I came here was the age I am right now. And I looked at Brother Gray as young. Still had the fire. But I just thought, every year I used to think, boy, what it would be like to one day be able to preach at Berean. I'm telling you, if I ever got that opportunity, I'd think I'd be in high cotton. Then I remember I got to teach Vacation Bible School. And then one time while I was at Calvary Baptist Church for the very first time, Brother Gray was going to be gone, and he asked me to preach on a Sunday. Son, I was swelled up. Then later on, he asked me to come and preach a revival. That was almost too much. Because you know why that is? Because I held this place in high honor.
That's right.
And by the way, I still do.
Yes, sir.
And to be able to pastor this church, that's too much. for an old country boy from Tennessee. But I'm very glad that God has allowed us to build buildings. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Again, I might have already read this, but 1 Chronicles 29, look at verse number 6. Oh, this is about the offering. Yep, got that down. So it wasn't just David who gave and Solomon it gave. Look at this. The chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and hundreds with rulers of the king's work. Look at this. They offered freely. And they gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams of silver, 10,000 talents, and of brass, 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasurer of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehu, the Gershishite. Then the people rejoiced. All right? So now think about this. Hold on. Don't read that next verse. Time out. Look up here. Number one, you have David giving millions of dollars in today's money. Number two, you have Solomon, who paid Hiram to get the timber down. He paid with wheat. And where'd the wheat come from? The people. And then you have the leaders of Israel giving. And it wasn't just the leaders. Look at this, verse number 9. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Now listen, I'm not going to ever apologize for when it's time to build a building. And I'm not going to apologize for asking people to give. And I'm very grateful for the buildings that we've built, and I'm grateful, Lord willing, God willing, if God's people keep giving like they should and have, by the end of this year, we'll have all the buildings paid for. Then you go, well, yeah, and then he's going to build another building, put us in debt. No, not unless God wants us to. But if we needed to, guess what? We would have to be inconvenienced. We would have to sacrifice. And we would have to give. Now, let me just tell you this. If we redo this parking lot out here, it's liable to be $1 million. Now, everybody will be excited about that, won't they? Would be, you say, preacher, that's inconvenience. Well, it would be. And sacrificial and a lot of money for a parking lot. But the parking lot says something when people drive by about how you care about the house of God. Now, I may be able to say this. That's the next guy's problem. I don't know. I'm just saying. Buildings cost money. They cost David, Solomon, the leaders, and the people. If you're going to build a place that honors God, make much of it. Because Solomon goes, because great is our God. Now let me give you one more thing. Well, let me show you this just so you'll understand this. Go back to our text in 1 Kings chapter 5. This is our text. Back in chapter 5, we read verse 5. But I want you to notice this idea about Hiram, the king of Tyre. Look in verse number 1. He sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father David. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. But anyhow, what I wanted to see is, where's my text here? Look at verse number 6. Now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon. So basically the greatest place you could get cedar trees was in Lebanon. And my servants shall be with thy servants, and unto thee will I give hire for thy servants according to all that thou shalt appoint. For thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill in hew timber like unto the Sidonians. And it came to pass when Hiram heard the words of Solomon that he rejoiced greatly and said, blessed be the Lord this day which hath given unto David a wise son over this great people. And Hiram sent to Solomon saying, I have considered the thing which thou sentest to me for, and I will do all thy desire concerning timber of cedar and concerning timber of fir. My servants shall bring them down from Lebanon unto the sea, and I will convey them by sea in floats into the place that thou shalt appoint me, and that ended up being Joppa, and will cause them to be discharged there, and thou shalt receive them, and thou shalt accomplish my desire in giving food for my household. So Hiram gave Solomon cedar trees and fir trees according to all his desire. And now notice this, it cost him something. And Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 measures of wheat for food to his household and 20 measures of pure oil and gave Solomon to Hiram. Look at this, year by year. This wasn't just a one-time thing. And the Lord gave Solomon wisdom and he promised him and there was peace between Hiram and Solomon and they two made a league together. So Hiram goes, I'll give you the timber, you give me food. What does that mean? Cost? Inconvenience? Sacrifice. So God help us when it comes time to build buildings. And I'm not even preaching about building a building. But there might be something that comes up. I don't know. But I can tell you this, when we build it, it'll be inconvenient. It'll cost money. But it should be for God's honor and glory. Now let me give you one more thing, and I think this is so important that every person needs to understand, and it's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. So go there real quick. I told you when I get to this part, we're real close to being done. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and look at verse number 10 and verse number 11. This is so important for all of us to understand. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 10. The Lord therefore hath performed his word that he has spoken. For I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And in it I have put the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, and he made with the children of Israel. All right, so everybody got that? All right, now look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 16. Just one page over, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 16. Here's what God said. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. As for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes, and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have coveted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But, there's always a but if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name I will cast out of my sight, and I will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord thy God, their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. Now here's the point I'm trying to make. Obedience to God is more important than building buildings. Why do you think there was three temples? Disobedience. And by the way, God is a God of grace and God is a God of mercy, and he gave Israel every chance. But God, whatever God says is true, and they forsook God and they did serve other gods. And the next thing you know, the house of God is laid waste by Nebuchadnezzar. People go into Babylonian captivity. Why? Because they disobeyed God. You know, across America, you see many church buildings sitting there empty. Yep. And I'm not even talking about you go to a place and it's run down and it's nothing, and it's buildings that used to be worship centers for God are now just like, pfft. Listen, the reason building buildings and the reason occupying buildings and the reason that buildings need to be kept up, because it says a lot about what we think about God. But let me tell you something. Obeying God is more important than building a building. That's very evident in the text that we just read. So I want you to understand, building buildings are important, but not as important as obeying God. Building buildings are important, but listen, they're not as important as missions. Building buildings may be important, but they're not as important as prayer, Bible reading, and making disciples. This place should be our focal point in worship. We come here as members here because we love God. I'm a member of Berean Baptist Church. I'm not going anywhere, Lord willing. I love my church because I love my Savior. And I'm telling you, we've taken the same stand today as we did 57 years ago. So if you decide to leave, it's not because we change. It's because you change. This place is to bring honor to God. These are the reasons Solomon built and David prepared. They loved God. They wanted a place to worship God, and they wanted a place to honor God. But so let's remember this. To obey is more important than to build. Somebody say amen. All right, let's stand tonight, every head bowed. Lord, I pray tonight that we would understand the magnifical building that was built called the temple. But Lord, we could go 400 years after this text that we read in chapter 5, and Nebuchadnezzar is tearing the building down and burning it because of the disobedience of God's people. Lord, I pray that we would understand this is a place of worship, a place of honor, and a place of obedience, a preaching station, not a recreation center, a place to bring honor and glory to God and to fellowship, make disciples, see people saved. May we go forward for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. 260, Brother John.